Arise is a platform where God is raising an army of men that knows God, loves God, and live their lives in the light of God's power.
Welcome to Arise Shine Christian Network.
Father, tonight we honor you. We reference you. Thank you for calling us to yourself. Thank you. Thank you for your mighty presence in this place. Thank you for what you have done already. Thank you for the testimonies. No man can do these things except God is with him. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being for us. Thank you for being in us. For it is you that worketh in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, thank you. Thank you for our life will not remain the same. In the name of Jesus, we honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please be seated, everyone. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Good evening, everyone. It's with great delight that I welcome every one of you to this meeting tonight. My heart is indicted in good matters. Yea, I speak of excellent things. My tongue tonight is like the pen of a ready writer. I would only plead that you avoid distraction. I would only plead that you sit and pay attention to God and to your destiny. By all means tonight, avoid any and every form of walk around. Silence your phone, put it somewhere. Something is coming forth that has eternal value. What I'm going to be sharing with you tonight, I have, by God's mercy, been taught. And I have engaged this in my life, and I have seen the result that is so amazing that this law can produce in the life of a man. I have eaten of the fruit that this seed gives to men that honors it. And so I would only plead with you that you do yourself a good benefit by paying attention tonight. You see, the extent of your light is the extent of your might. Is somebody with me tonight? Your might ends where your light ends. Your knowledge determines your power. That means if you are going to empower a man, you don't give him weapon, you give him knowledge. Weapon without knowledge can still end in destruction. Are we together tonight? This is why you must pay attention and not trivialize the fountain of divine knowledge to you, which is the word of God. Because everything that your life will need to enjoy this side of God's kingdom and also to have eternal life and enjoy eternity with him is largely determined by your attention to the ministry of the word. So your light determines your might. How bright your light shines determines how far your might can go. It is light that makes men mighty. Anyone that you see doing mighty things in this kingdom today, either in finance, either in business, either in ministry, either in any area or the other, what is responsible for any and every kind of exploit is light. This is the reason why we call God Almighty. You know why? Because the same God that we call Almighty is called All-Knowing. So because he is omniscience, he knows all things. His knowledge has no end. His power also has no end. If his knowledge has an end, his power would have ended where his knowledge ends. So when you are going to empower a man, you expose him to more knowledge. You expose him to more might. This is how you make the weak become strong. You don't make the weak become strong by taking them to the gym. You make the weak become strong by exposing them to information. Knowledge builds capacity. Knowledge makes men mighty. Knowledge advances the world. Anyone that can expose himself to the ministry of light can keep changing level at every point in time. Believe me, sir. Your stagnation is as a result of your lack of knowledge. If you get more light, you can move more forward. Is somebody with me tonight? Ignorance is the reason for stagnation. Ignorance is the reason for pain. What you don't know is greater than you anytime, any day. What you don't know can kill you. You can die the death of a fool because of ignorance. This is why if you desire a life that is ever progressive, you must always be ever studious and be voraciously hungry for what is called knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. When God was going to strengthen the man Joshua, after Moses had departed, Joshua was stepping into a shoe, a donkey that is humanly speaking greater than him. And Joshua was stepping into a shoe that he has never walked before. Joshua was not born into the priestly family. Yet, God has chosen Joshua to succeed the man Moses, the meekest man on the earth. The man that walked with God, that spoke with God mouth to mouth. That assignment is already discouraging from the beginning. You know why? Even the meekest could not get to the promised land. The one that is the meekest, the one that God spoke to mouth to mouth, could not take us to the promised land. You disqualify him. How much more myself that does not even know anything? So it's like starting a race you know you cannot go far. Yet when God was going to strengthen him, watch what God did to him. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, this book of the law. In other words, if you would pay absolute attention to the light contained in the book of the law, you will do what Moses could not do. This book of the Lord must not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night. That means the more you meditate, the more it becomes real to you. When you stop meditating, it becomes vague again. And when it becomes vague, you lose sight of it. And when you lose sight of it, success is not in view. You see that now. Joshua, I want to give you something that makes Moses miss his point. Moses did not pay attention to all of my words. At the point I told him to speak to the rock, Moses struck the rock. He didn't pay full attention. If you would ever go farther than Moses did, Joshua, this book of the law, this law, this mysteries of the kingdom must not depart out of your mouth. You must meditate. It must be part of your thinking. In your sleeping, in your waking up, you must give yourself wholly to this word. Why? Your success determines, this law determines your success. Your attention to this law determines your success in this life. And the formula has not changed. The formula has not changed. That your knowledge determines your power. Why do we call some people powerful in the world? We call them powerful because they have access to knowledge, light that we don't have access to. Why do we categorize a whole nation and we break them into different categories? We have the first world nation, we have the second world nation, we have the third world nation. I thought God makes all this nation and they are all on the earth. No, the category is based on the level of light and civilization, revelation and invention that they have access. The technological advancement in the first world cannot be compared to the one you have in the third world. No. So even nation is rated by the light they access. How much more the lives of an individual. Every man at every point in time is operating based on the light he has. Life is fair. Life operates on the law of seed time and harvest. Somebody say seed time and harvest. life operates on the law of seed time and harvest. In other words, whatever you sow to life, life will give you the harvest of it. And if you must advance, you must learn the seed that produces the harvest you desire. For instance, if you desire knowledge, what are the seed that produce knowledge? Attention, listening, and silence. Is somebody with me now? These are the seed that you must sow. If you desire knowledge, you cannot be a talkative and still desire knowledge. You can't get knowledge that way. You cannot be a busybody and desire knowledge. You can't get knowledge that way. If you can sow the seed of attention, if you can sow the seed of silence, if you can sow the seed of learning, you can access what is called knowledge. The Bible says, if you desire to have friends, what did he say you should do? Show yourself friendly. So being friendly is the seed for getting friends. You see that now? Being friendly is the seed for gaining friends. So everything in this world operates on the basis of laws. And the laws of the kingdom have no respect for anyone. They don't have favorites. It's like garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put into it will determine whatever result you will get out of it. Is somebody with me now? Bible says, whosoever desire to receive mercy must do what? Must show mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall also do what? Obtain mercy. So those who are not merciful should not expect to receive mercy. You see that now? So don't just go around and shout, why are people not having mercy on me? What is going on? The question is, have you sown the seed that give the harvest of mercy? If you are with me, say amen. Amen. What I'm teaching you tonight is the key to access. I'm going to give you tonight by the mercy of God. It might fall into two-part series because I promised not to take our time, and we're going to close as promised. If we need to break it down into two parts, I already know it will split into two parts. So let me prepare your mind. This is going to be the part one. But pay attention. If you desire to stand before king and noblemen and to see men accept you in any part of the world, either they are white or black or ash or whatever color, pay attention to what I have to share tonight. You want to stand before people and speak to them once, and they desire your presence again and again. Pay attention to what I have for you tonight. This is a law I have engaged in my life, and I have seen how wonderful it can lavishly produce result for a man. I have stood before white. I have spoken. I am loved and received by them. I have spoken before men who are not of my tribes, and I have seen how loved and received by them. This law has given me access to things that people will spend billions and millions getting by engaging this law. So I plead with you by the message of the Lord, and I thank God that majority of us are largely young people, because if you don't learn this law, life is hard. If you don't learn this law, doors will be shut. You can fast, you can pray, you can have people pray for you and anoint you with oil. If you lack this law, you will not go anywhere. Believe me tonight. The law of honor. Asian words, can you play that for me? That's what I hear right now. The law of honor. Changing me and changing you. We have come with an open heart. Oh, let me shed words. Changing me and changing you. an open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. I am going to begin this teaching by giving you and sharing with you five biblical stories of men that ignored this law and how dearly they paid for it. But let me start by telling you, brothers and sisters, tonight, please pay attention. I came tonight with a burdened heart because I look into our world and into our generation. If you want to be famous, you want to be popular, dishonor somebody and you will go viral almost immediately. And that looks like the trending thing that gives people access into famous, into fame and into riches. But that is a destruction that the enemy already programmed for this generation. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. If you subscribe to this law I'm teaching you tonight, you can earn a living just practicing this law. In fact, can I shock you? There are people in the world now that earns a living just engaging this law. They call them hype man. Anyone who goes to the club knows what this is. I've never been to the club, but I've met some of them who have been there. What they do all their life is to hype men that comes in, give honor to them, and you will see people giving them money. Meaning it is a universal law that anyone that understands and engages it cannot go unrewarded. Anywhere you see failure, anywhere you see closed door, listen carefully, anywhere you see rejection, dishonor is the reason. Anywhere you see failure, anywhere you see closed door, anywhere you see rejection, dishonor is responsible for it. Any form of failure is as a result of dishonor. Hear me again and again. Any form of failure, academical failure, failure in career, failure in health, failure in marriage, failure in ministry, failure in finances, failure in any kind, dishonor is responsible for it. Failure in health will be as a result of dishonoring the laws that has been put in place to maintain your health. Somebody just fell sick and they said he has lungs cancer, and they said this is an affliction from witches and wizards. It's not so. When you were smoking cigarette, you were told that when you smoke cigarette, this is what will happen. You dishonor that law and then you reap the harvest of it. Are you with me tonight? So everywhere you see failure, don't look around. Even if it was done by the kingdom of darkness, what they used was to make you dishonor a law so that they can have access to you. You remember the three access points for the kingdom of darkness? You remember when I took you to the deliverance ministry, the deliverance series? You remember the three access? Number one, disobedience. You remember? Number two, ignorance. Number three, what is it? All of them is as a result of dishonor. Disobedience is dishonor. Ignorant is dishonor to knowledge. Covenant is dishonor to Almighty God, because he already told you, you will not have another God behind me. Is somebody with me now? So anywhere you see any form of pain, any form of regret, any form of access closed, dishonor is responsible. Can I tell you immediately a starting point? That if there was a door that was open in your life at a point in time, somebody once give you money, somebody wants to give you access to their house, somebody wants to give you access to their properties, somebody wants to show you some form of love and kindness, now they are shot against you, dishonor is responsible. Believe me, brothers and sisters. So let me begin my stories. Five biblical stories of men and women that engage and trivialize this law of honor and how they paid for it. Number one, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Life givers, the Lord will strengthen you. I need you to walk with me tonight. Thank you. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Is it projected for you there? With a loud voice, can you read it for me now? 1, 2, go. We are reading to verse 17. 1, 2, go. Give me verse 16. The Lord took man after he has made his man and put him in the garden of Eden. Now let me read this one for you and the subsequent one. He said, and the Lord God commanded man, listen carefully, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Say instruction. Give me the next verse. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Is that instruction clear to every one of us here? If you were this man that God is speaking to here, is this instruction clear to you? Now let's look at what happened after this instruction was given. Genesis 3 and verse 6. We are reading to verse 7 and then you will skip to verse 23 and 24. Is that okay? But we are reading verse 6 and 7 first and later to 23 and 24. Look at what happened. After the instruction has been given to man, God made man. You remember what we taught during our incense and healing last week? That God made man and put man in his own presence, where everything man will ever need for life and for godliness is lavishly available. God never intended that man will go through any form of pain and labor. Am I too fast for you tonight? God never intended that man will go through any form of hardship and rejection. God never intended that man will go through what is called toiling that man is now going through. Are we together now? But something happened in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. Give us that scripture in verse 6. Give us that scripture again. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, which tree now? The very tree that God said should not eat, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. What have they just done? God told them what to do, and they are doing exactly against what God said they should do. Eat every tree. Make sure you don't eat of this tree. Is somebody still with me? Give me the next verse, verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open. The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. That means all the while they have been naked. But as long as they honored the Lord by obeying his instruction, their nakedness was never exposed. Their shame was never seen. But the moment they disobeyed and dishonored their creator, their nakedness became exposed. That means dishonor is the birthplace of shame. Is somebody still with me tonight? Every time you see shame, every time you see nakedness, dishonor is responsible. And they saw that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Now in the place of God's Shekinah glory that covers them, they had to use a leaf. They had to use a fig tree. Now let's jump to verse 23. And then we read 23 and 24. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden, the garden of comfort, the garden of abundance of provision. Why? Because man has dishonored God. Access was given to man at a time to access God's presence. Man dwelt in that presence. Everything man required for life, for godliness, was available in that presence. Is somebody with me tonight? But when man dishonored, the Bible says God sent man out. Give that scripture there, please. The Bible says, and therefore God sent him out of the garden. What to do? To till the ground from which he was taken. Next verse. So he drove out the man. As loving as God is towards man, Man is the only of God's creature that was made in the image of God. Every time God looks at man, God sees himself. He must have been one of the darkest days in the life of God to send himself, the image of himself on the earth now, out of his presence. And he knows the implication of that, because everything that is lavishly, that has been lavishly available for a man to enjoy freely, will no longer be available. Give me that scripture again, sir. He said, he sent the man out and he placed cherubim at the east of the garden and a flaming sword to turn it every way and to guide the way to the tree of life. So the first man, Adam, lost access to God's presence. So God himself does not tolerate dishonor. And he demonstrated to us by showing us that the first man that he made in his image, when he communicated dishonor to him, he had no choice than to send him out. You see that now. Man was banished from God's presence. Man lost communion with God because man dishonored God. And when man dishonored God, he lost communion with God. And when he lost communion with God, he lost dominion over the earth. You see that now. Honor gave man access to communion. Communion gave man access to dominion. So when you lost honor and you engage dishonor, you lose communion and then you lose dominion. Is somebody with me tonight? The first is man and God. Number two, Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. We have looked up about, you have looked at the whole world now. Let's look at a part of the world that is also suffering even up till now as a result of this same error. Genesis chapter 9. For the sake of time, let's rush to verse 20. We read to verse 27. Are we together now? For the sake of time, look at what the Bible says here. Are we together? Make your note quickly and look up. I need you to follow me with your heart tonight. Look at what the Bible says. It said, and Noah, you remember Noah? You remember there was a time God wiped out the whole earth and then started again with a man and his family. You remember the story of Noah? Now the flood is over. Now Noah wants to start all over again. Noah and his three children and the wife are about to start all over again. Now the Bible is giving us the story of Noah. Follow carefully. It said, and Noah began to be a farmer. So it means he was not a farmer. But when everything was over, the best and the safest work to do now is farming. Because if you don't farm, you won't eat. Every other person has been wiped off. They are the only one on the face of the earth at that time. So he said, Noah began to be a farmer and a planted vineyard. Next verse. And he drank of the vine and was drunk. Noah drank of the vine and was drunk. Noah represents the father of the whole world who has given birth and has children. Follow carefully. And now Noah drank of the wine that he planted of. And Noah was drunk and became uncovered in the tents. He became naked, uncovered in his tents. And Ham, take note of Ham. Say Ham. I'm coming back to Ham. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Next verse, please. And Shem and Japhet took a garment. So one saw the nakedness and went to publicize. Your dad is drunk. Come and see how the man scatter everything inside the tent. But when the two people he went to report to, when they were going to the tent, look at what the Bible says they did. But Shem and Japhet took a garment, laid it on both their shoulder, and went inside backward, and covered the nakedness of their father. Their face were turned away. They looked away from the nakedness of their father and did not see their father's nakedness. G- Give me the next verse. Don't forget, Noah was drunk. It was not Ham that fed Noah with wine. It was Noah that planted the wine. It was Noah that drank. It was Noah that got drunk all by himself. Are we together now? Good. So Noah awoke from his wine. When a drunkard is really drunk, you know they sleep. And if you have seen many of them, they sleep and they forget their life. They snore. Now when he awoke from his wine and knew, how did he know? The Bible did not say that one of them came to report and that while you were sleeping, Papa, this arm is a very bad boy. When you were sleeping, he came to look at your nakedness. No. Nobody reported. The father was sleeping in drunkenness. It would have been like a state of, if for want of words, in the Christendom, it would have looked like saying a state of backsliding or sleeping spiritually. Because he was drunk and now he's sleeping. And then nakedness is open. So in that state, the Bible says, when he woke up from his wine, he knew that his younger son and what his younger son had done to him. Let me advise you. No matter what the father do, never speak against them. You've heard me say this again, is our culture in this family. No matter, you see this now, look at where the story ends. And when he awoke, look at what he said. Then he said, remember, who saw the nakedness? With a loud voice, who saw the nakedness? Ham saw the nakedness. Canaan is the son of Ham. Are we together now? Canaan is the son of Ham. Ham is the son of Noah. Are we together? Now, when Noah was going to pronounce a curse, Noah said, curse be Canaan. Was it Canaan that sinned? No. You know what the Lord told me while I was studying that? Ham represents Noah's future. Because Ham is Noah's son. Canaan represents Ham's future. So the man, even in his drunken state, was wise enough not to curse his own future. Even though his future has sinned, he caused the future of his son. So he said, curse be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be to his brother. Ask me in this generation, who are the descendants of Canaan and Ham? Africa. Do a study. I'll give you a couple of books to go and read. If you are interested in this study, go and read the book, Is Something Wrong With Being Black? By Pastor Matthew Ashimolowo. There's also another book by a great man who just wrote, I can't remember his name now, but the book is Africa, My Roots, The Curse and the Blessings. Africa, The Roots, The Curse and the Blessings. You will come across archaeological and historical discussion about the roots of Africa. And at the end of the day, all archaeologists and historical professors, they all agree that Africa came out from Canaan. Now let's go back to the scripture. Curse be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. Does that look like the state of Africa in our days? Yes. With all the resources, with all that is available, with all the human and natural resources that God has given us to, because of dishonor, that continent that represents Canaan still exists under servitude. Give me the next verse. Verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. And please pardon me, I don't know what is going on. Please help me, something is shaking here. And may Canaan be his servant. You see that now? May Canaan be his servant. Next verse, verse 27, our last verse for now. May God enlarge Japheth. May God see how the father is determining the destiny. If you were there, you would think, oh, they are just children. When they die, that's the end of the course. No, each of them represent a descendant, each of them represent continents. Each of them represent a tribe, a generation. Just like the way Adam fell and all men fell with it. When Ham fell by dishonoring Noah, Africa sinned and fell with it. I don't know the reason for the pain you are suffering in your family. Dishonor of your parent might be the reason. Look at what the Bible is saying here. It said, may Canaan be his servant. He made Canaan the servant to Shem. He made Canaan the servant to Japheth. Why? Because Ham, the father of Canaan, dishonored Noah. That's number two. Number three, Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. This is also a long reading. We are reading from verse 1. Are we together now? I want you to follow me and follow the screen even as the word is projected. Can you set this? Just set it and let it stand. Is that okay? Just set it. I'm more comfortable with that. Thank you, sir. Genesis 16 is a long story, but I want you to pay attention. Did you see in the story of Noah that Noah had sinned against God by getting drunk? Yet, when he raised the curse, God did not say, you a drunkard. A drunkard, you are speaking against someone. That means, even if your parents have done evil, even if your father is a sinner, even if your mother is not in alignment with the will of God, there is a power in the words upon their lips. Don't dishonor them. You see that now? Let's look at Sarah. Are we together now? If you are with me, say amen. Yeah. Now, Sarai, Abraham's wife, had bore him no children. And she had an Egyptian male servant whose name was Hagar. Whose name was Hagar? Sorry, please. Let's go to verse 2. So Sarah said to Abraham, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please, go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children from her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. Follow the story. Hagar was minding her own business. Abraham was minding his own business. Mama Sarah started this conversation and this transaction. Now, next verse. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. After Abraham has dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. Next verse. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. Now follow carefully. Remember, who was Hagar? Hagar was a slave, the house girl. In modern language, Hagar was the house girl. So Mama Sarah looked at Papa Abraham and said, even though God has spoken to us about giving birth, let's kickstart something. Let's take a step of faith. Let's try to help God bring to manifestation the prophecy that he has spoken over us. Let's try to help this Papa. Maybe he will kickstart things and it will happen from there. So here is Hagar, a slave in this house. Let him enter. And then that Papa Abraham too must have been eyeing Hagar. I said, I've been looking at this lady too. I'm too afraid of you. And because Papa did not restrict at all. Papa just said, okay, no problem. Come. And once Papa played the shots, and look at what happened. Are we together? Be serious. I'm coming with something very serious tonight. So he went into Hagar and she conceived. And she saw that she, and when she saw, when Hagar saw that she had conceived, and her mistress became despised in her eyes. In other words, Mama, this is the same game you have been playing with Papa all this while. You have not been able to conceive. Once I have become conceived. So the Bible says, the maid servant, our master now, who brought her into the house, who had been nurturing, who was the reason for this transaction, now became despised. Give me the scripture again, sir. Now became despised in our eyes. Look at what the good news said. And Abraham had intercourse with Hagar, and she became pregnant. And when she found out that she was pregnant, she became what now? Proud. And what happened? Despised Sarai. Watch what happened next. Next verse. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had born. Bros, are we together? Good. Verse 5. Then Sarah said to Abraham, "My wrong be upon me. I gave my maid to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." In other words, the man was paying, the woman was paying. This is not what I bargained for. I had good intention. This thing is working against me now. Give me the next verse. Look at the smart father Abraham that we have. So Abraham said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." Smart man. And Sarai dealt harshly with her. The Bible did not hide this. Mama Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her presence. Mama Sarah gave her a piece of true humanity, and she could not stand it. Bible says she fled from her presence. Look at the next thing that happened. Now the angel of the Lord found her by the stream of water in the wilderness, where she was running away. God was looking at the whole drama from heaven and was looking at everything play out. And when the woman ran out, look at what the Bible says. And the angel, God sent this angel now. Send this angel, and they found the woman by the stream of water in the wilderness, by the stream of the way to shore. Next verse. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid." That not only on earth were you known as Sarah's maid, even in heaven we recognize authority. You may have conceived and Sarah had not conceived. You may be achieving what your boss has not achieved. But we are not so stupid in heaven not to know who is the maid and who is the servant. Sarai, let me remind you who you are. Hagar, let me remind you who you are. You are Sarai's maid. Look at what else. Where have you come? Where have you come from? And where are you going? She said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah." Watch what will happen. Somebody will think, God will say, "Wow, wonderful. We saw the suffering. Ah, in fact, we pitied you." Look at what the angel said. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress. Return to your mistress. Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her." You know why? Hold the scripture there. You know why? If you refuse to return, you will lose both the pregnancy and your life. Because your covering is under your master. Your covering is staying where God has put you. If you out of rebellion, if you out of achieving what your head has not achieved now, and you step out, you will lose your life and what you conceive and carry inside. This is the undoing of many pastors, respectfully speaking, in our different churches. So the general overseer of the church said something they did not like. The next week they started their own church out of rebellion. And at the beginning it looked as though they were getting results, but very soon they will die and lose the pregnancy. The pregnancy in this case now stands for the ministry. The ministry has the potential to be global. Is it that God has called them? Yes, God has called them, but the timing and the motive was wrong. Return to your mystery and submit yourself under a hand. Submit yourself under a hand. Give me the next verse. Okay, that is it. Don't worry because of time. Submit yourself under a hand. Do you see another case of dishonor now? When she was dishonored, when she dishonored her mystery, the Bible says she was dealt with harshly. So it's safe to also point. Listen, brothers and sisters, this will shake you. I don't intend to pamper you tonight. So if any of the word of God coming towards you eat you at any way, note it down and go and do correction. Anytime you see any of your boss or your supervisor or your colleague treating you harshly, you have dishonored them one way or the other. Hear me again, sir. Anytime you experience hardship, anytime you experience harsh disposition from your supervisor, you don't understand the law of honor. Even the devil, when you honor him, he will lift you. When you honor the devil, he will help you. So it means it's a universal principle. Those who are serving the devil in the world, you know what they were doing? They were honoring him. So don't tell me your boss hates you because you are a Christian. If you are treated harshly, you don't understand the law of honor. Story number what now? Is somebody still with me? Five biblical stories of men that did not understand the law of honor and how they dearly paid for it. You notice Father Abraham did not strive with Mama Sarai and say, no, don't deal with her anyhow, please. Somebody's carrying my pregnancy. All the while you have been in my house, have you been able to pray for me? Papa understand the law of honor. But the girl didn't. And the girl paid. Do you know that many of the failure in marriage, many of the pain and hardship in marriage is as a result of this simple thing? Dishonor. Husband not understand the honor language of the wife. Wife not understanding the honor language of husband. And every time she do what she believe is honor to the man feels dishonored. Every time the man tries to do what she expect that will be honor to the woman feels dishonored. Marriage does not, don't worry, you will learn a lot when we are talking about the law of relationship. Many, in fact, 80% of the marriages that broke were still people that love each other. They still have feelings of love for each other. Meaning love is not enough to sustain a relationship. Honor is. Honor is. Honor is the bedrock of every relationship. Honor is the bedrock of every relationship. Honor is the bedrock of every relationship. Story number four. Is God blessing somebody already? Story number four. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter number 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are helping us already. Thank you. Let's read from verse 1. Another very long reading. Into verse 14. This is the story of Moses, Aaron and Miriam. Are we together now? We have talked about God and man. We have talked about father and children, right? We have talked about husband, wife, and their males. Now we are talking about brothers. You see how God is training us now to show you all dimensions. We've talked about employer and employee, Sarah and Hagar. We've talked about father and son, family relationship, Noah and Ham. Are we together? We've talked about God and man, God and Adam. Now let's talk about brothers, because we believe that the people to honor are the people who only are heard. Let's look at what the Bible is speaking here. Numbers chapter 12, beginning from verse 1. Are we together now? Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Look at how the Bible started. Then Miriam, who is Miriam? The younger sister of Moses. Moses happened to be the first. Aaron, the younger brother, and Miriam. I don't know how God blessed that family so well that their mother alone raised the first prophet, the first pastor, and the first worship leader. That woman must have some grace that many of us need to find out. Moses was the first person to do the work and stand before God to pastor his people. Aaron was the first prophet to speak on behalf of God to man and man to God. Miriam was the first worship leader from the same family. Look at what they did now. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Listen. Many times when we speak against authorities and fathers and people, we speak against them with a mind that we are justified because their errors are obvious. How can a man of God sleep with another woman? How can a man of, is that a pastor? Has he done something right? No. Am I supporting what he has done? No. But are you the judge of the man? No. Somebody with me tonight. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Next verse, please, verse 2. So they said, as the Lord indeed, now look at them now. They said, as the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses, has he not spoken through us also? Imagine the conversation. Imagine, God forbid in this place. So does Apostle Faith is the only one God speaks to? Even me, God speaks to me. Has he not spoken to us also? Look at what the next thing the Bible says. And the Lord. So while they were saying, God was saying, what are you saying? And the Lord had it. Look at what the Lord did when he had it. Next verse. Now the man Moses was very humble, and more than all who were on the face of the earth. Next verse. Suddenly, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meetings. So the three came out. God was angry by this conversation. You see, they come out with the exclamation mark. Come out, the three of you. Next verse. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. Listen. God normally, naturally, does not come out and stand in the tabernacle. God stands in the Holy of Holies. It will take the prophet, the priest, to access the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. So if man wants to atone for his sin, the priest, which is Aaron, will have to go on the behalf of that man into the Holy of Holies to meet with God. But dishonor made God to say, no, there's no, don't worry, let me come out and stand with you. God does not tolerate dishonor, no matter what excuse you give for it. Look at what it says. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, stay by this side. And both of them went forward. The three of them were standing like this. And he said, Miriam, Aaron. And the two of them stepped forward. Look at the next thing that happened. Then he said, hear now my word. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in vision. Who is the prophet? Aaron. I speak to him in dream. He's telling them their credentials. Next verse. So, not so with my servant. You say you hear from me. It's true. I speak to you in visions. I speak to you in dreams, but not so with my servant. He is faithful in all my house. Next verse. Next verse, please. I speak with him. How? In other words, you are not in the same class. Listen, we may be classmates, we are not grace mates. We may be age mates, we are not grace mates. There is something upon my life that set me apart from you. There is something upon each man that put them in their different classes. I know that it is true, you are a prophet. I speak to you, but in the vision and in the dream. But this one, I speak to him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. And why then were you not afraid? I mean, wait a minute. Let's talk to ourselves now. Put the scriptures up. We'll come back to the scripture. I'm sometimes amazed at the things believers have the audacity to speak against servants of God in the church. Even if the man of God is fake, is he out of your mouth? Are you not afraid? Can you speak against Shango worshiper like that? A video trended just this last week about the man of God whose building was demolished in Anambra State. When I saw that video, I almost cried with the maltreatment of the man of God. And I asked myself, why are dishonor gotten this far in our world? And you see many people justifying the reason why the man had to be treated that way. A man of God, even if you call him any name, you are not the one that will judge. Hear me, brothers and sisters. At the end of the day, there is only one judge over the whole world. If he says you are right, you are right. If he says you have failed, you have failed. If the whole world clap for you, if he says no, you failed. With no opportunity to appeal. The whole world may be cheering. The whole world may be calling you mighty name. But if they say you are a failure, believe me, brothers and sisters, you have failed. There is no man that has the marking scheme of another man. There is no man that has been made a judge over another man. Are you not afraid to hold your phone and type silly comments on the page of the man of God? Are you not afraid to stand even in your secret place or conceiving even in your heart to speak evil against God's servant? Are you not afraid? Do you know what he called anointing? Don't be used to the oil they pour physically. Anointing is much more than oil. It's a separation for special assignment. You touch not my anointed, the Bible says. He's consecrated. He's chosen. He may be the last born of your family. He's not your mate. This is not human worship. I'm telling you how to live a life that will be well with you. And your days will be long on the earth. Many have died the death of fools, trivializing this simple law I'm teaching you. Many have let down in life and in destiny, standing against the anointed man of God. Go and look at them. Many people that stand against anointed men of God in this nation, what is their end result? One came up one day and was speaking against my father, Bishop David Oyedepo, that she was the one that buried cow and did all manner of nonsense. Where is she today? Is my father not waxing strong in the work of the kingdom? Be careful. Many will go and say they come back and they are just from heaven and they saw some people in hell and they will speak against all the anointed. Give them few days. They fade away like the smokes before the wind. Don't join the banks of fools. Don't waste your life, sir. Are you not afraid? The man of God has a second wife. Is it your business? Are you the judge? He just divorced. Is it your business? Are you the judge? You may not agree with his terms, but you must not dishonor him also. You may not go to his church, but you must not dishonor him also. Give me the scripture again, sir. So God says, why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant? I wish I could tattoo this scripture and paint it in every church. Because in all our churches now, what trends is people sitting in the congregation and speaking against the man of God. Why are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Next verse, we're going to verse 14. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them and they departed. God didn't see anything. No. God got angry and departed. Look at what happened next. When the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous. Remember the first dishonor, Adam and God. What happened? He was casted out. Are you still following the trend? The second, between who and who now? Noah, he was also casted out from the inheritance. He lost what he had in Noah and then became an outcast and a servant. Agai and Sarai, what happened? Casted out. Look at what happened to this one too. And then the cloud departed, and Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned towards Miriam, and there she was, a leper. I can imagine Aaron shaking and saying, this one is leprous now. I don't know what my own judgment will be. Look at what the wise man do afterward. So Aaron said to Moses, before my own apple, Oh my Lord. Somebody say honor. Immediately he went back to the place of honor and said, what happened to me? Oh my Lord, please do not let this thing on us, in which we have done foolishly. So it is actually foolish to walk in dishonor, and in which we have sinned. Next verse. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he came out of his mother's womb. Next verse, please. So Moses cried out. What a Moses. I wish Moses was me. I wish I was Moses. I said, so you people don't know that we are not classmates all this while. No, let me just show you now. Maybe that one is just leprous. Just watch out what happens to you. Maggot will begin to eat you now. Just to show you the little piece of my power. Have you felt like that before? Somebody spoke against Jesus and spoke against your Jesus, and you feel like Lord angel slap him. Let him just know. But look at what Moses did. Next, show me the scripture again. Bible says, and Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please heal her, O Lord, I pray. One line. Look at the next thing that happened. Then the Lord said to Moses, what a relationship. There are men that when they speak once, God hears. Don't waste your destiny. Don't dishonor such men. Don't try it. You may be crying, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. My father, as I'm praying, you are still doing all gymnastics. They will just say, oh Lord, please heal this one. While you are doing the gymnastics, God has done the miracles. There are men that have covenant with God. When you see men stand and hold mine, don't think you are your mate. Many of them, if God open you up to the level of sacrifice that goes up on their altar, you will know your life is at risk to speak against them. Many of them sacrifices, the many things you do at pleasure, the many things, the way you live your life the way you want. You sleep when you want to sleep. Many of them, when they were tired and they feel like sleeping, God will now call them and say, no, I want to show you something. Then you are snoring. You think God will now, because of you, and let you dishonor such a man? No. No. I'm enjoying that story again. Then the Lord said to Moses, if our mother had but spit, if our father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? So dishonor leads to shame. You see again. Let her be shut out of the camp. You remember? Put out, taken to exile, banished from the camp 7 days. Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days. And afterward, she may be received again. God had mercy on her because Moses interceded for her. Is somebody with me tonight? I intentionally, by God's mercy, he led me and asked us to go through these stories. That's story number what now? With a loud voice now. Remember, you are learning honor. One of the ways to honor is when I ask you to respond, you respond. Story number what now? You know now that you know what happened to Miriam. The way to just calm down. I'm teaching you something. You know what happened to Miriam. What number are we now? Hallelujah. Story number 5. But it's God blessing you already. Esther chapter 1. I will reference you. Find that key. I'll give you the padlock. Esther chapter 1. Esther chapter 1. Take it down for me, please. Esther chapter 1. Light givers, we'll read from verse 1 to 4, and then we'll skip from verse 9 to 12, and then we'll skip from verse 19 to 20. 1 to 4, 9 to 12, 19 to 20. Are we together now? Is everybody here now? Esther chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4. Are we together? Look up everyone without distraction, please. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. One thing that interests me first in this story that I'm about to read to you is that in the whole of the scriptures, there are only two books that were named after women. And just like my teachers, many people who have taught me in the kingdom, fathers of faith, leaders, teachers, elders that I've followed and listened to, I've also taught, I've also wondered and taken time to study the reason behind their names. A book was named after them. When a university is named after a man, you want to know what happened. I've studied some of our universities that were named after a man. I've studied those men. Who is this man? By the reason of the work I do, I've studied the name, the people whose name and faces appear by our leg attender, to know who is Herbert Akuku or something, who is Herbert Macaulay, who is this, who is, why with their name, out of 200 million people in Nigeria, why would you choose their face to be on the face of the currency? And I've discovered there is something that is so striking that these two women did that made two books in the Bible to be named after them. The first amazing thing I observed was that these two women were not warriors. These two women were not prophetess. So how come you name a book after somebody that is not a warrior? If it were to be David, we know David was a king. And even David as a king, no Bible, no book was named after him. Are we together now? Samuel was a prophet. So if you see 1st and 2nd Samuel, it's not a big deal. Isaiah was a prophet. Zechariah was a prophet. Habakkuk was a prophet. Are you with me now? Malachi was a prophet. Matthew was an apostle. John was an apostle. Luke was an apostle. But these ones are ordinary women. What makes them qualify to have books of the Bible, the holy scripture of the Lord, named after them? The first I studied was the woman called Ruth. Ruth was a weak woman. Ruth was not a prophet. Ruth never saw vision, but Ruth had what is called honor. Ruth communicated a dimension of honor that this generation will call us stupid for. You have lost your husband. Why should you still stick with the mother-in-law that has nothing as an inheritance? It's easy for my generation to stay with a mother-in-law that is wealthy and rich and influential because of the benefits they will gain. But Naomi does not have any of such. In fact, Ruth at a point will have to go labor and work to bring food for Naomi to eat. Yet, Ruth stayed with Naomi. And God saw that and said, no, this woman's name must not perish. Honor gave her space in the scripture. Not warrior, not prophecy, not miracles, not signs, not wonders, not being a king or a queen. Honor gave Ruth space in the scripture. Wow. So honor can immortalize a man's existence. So it means not only does honor has value when you are on earth, honor has an advantage that can immortalize your existence. And they will say, what did this man did to qualify for this? This man, he lived his life honoring men, honoring God, honoring systems and structures, honoring this, honoring that. And because of that, we cannot but immortalize the existence of this man. Many fought in their days, but their name was not recorded. Many lived long like Methuselah, but their name was not, a bad book was not named after them. But a woman lived with honor. The second is the one called Esther. Esther was not the first wife. Esther was not the king. Esther was not the wise man in the palace. Esther was not among the chief. Esther was not even born in Shushan. Esther was not even a stranger and a slave girl in a foreign land. What made Esther own the book of Esther? Honor. She never saw vision, but she understand honor. She never prophesied, but she understand honor. She never fought with sword, but she killed all her enemy with honor. Honor is powerful. Esther chapter 1. In your presence there is joy everlasting. I will reverence you, Lord. I will honor you, Lord. I will honor you, Lord. In your presence there is wisdom and a lasting. I will honor you, Lord. Esther chapter 1. Every door in your life that dishonor has shut, by the mercy of God, may they be open tonight. I know what I'm seeing. Many families are in tears right now because of dishonor. But I'm asking, Lord, like Moses asked that day, please show them mercy and restore them back to their place of dignity. In the name of Jesus. It is honorable to say amen when we pray for you. My words are not ordinary. Believe me. I don't have to shout for it to be powerful. When I stand here, I represent God. And whatever I speak over you must be so. But I decree tonight again that the mercy of God will find you. Esther chapter 1. I've not started the scripture. We are looking at the stories. I've not even started my message at all. I've not taught the introduction. You notice. We are looking at the stories. Wherever we get to, we stop. God has spoken to us already. Is that true? Yeah. Esther 1. Don't forget, my brother, life givers. 1 to 4, 9 to 12, 19 to 20. Let's do 1 to 4. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This was the Ahasuerus. It's now. The Bible wants to tell you who the Ahasuerus is. I love the word of God. It's so beautiful and sweet. If you had just mentioned Ahasuerus, you would think, oh, Ahasuerus, okay. Next. Let me tell you who this Ahasuerus is. Now, this was the Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces. That is like 127 states. Just for the record. Even the United States has just 55 or thereabouts states. There is no nation that has this number of states. Ahasuerus reigned over 127 provinces. And give me the next verse, please. Go back to verse 1. Give me my New King James. Thank you, sir. And his provinces were from India to Ethiopia. Imagine, that was his country, from the India you know now to Ethiopia. He's the king over them all. Next verse. Verse 2, sir. In those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the citadel, the headquarters was the Shushan now. That's called the citadel. That in the third year of his reign, he made a feast of all his officials and servants, the powers of Persia and Media, the nobles and the prince of the promises be before him. So he's the king of all the princes. 127 promises under him. He put kings like governors in charge of those promises. Now in the third year, he called the feast, and every one of them gathered, and the nobles and those people that were serving under his cabinet. Verse 4, sir. And when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all. It took him 180 days to just show them the things that he holds, that his kingdom holds. You can imagine, like the president of the country will come and commission project, and the state government will be showing him things around, and it will be under one day and it will be over. This guy did it from morning till night and spent 128 days. That is not an ordinary human being. Now skip to verse 9. Now, listen. He has shown them material things. But listen, it is the custom of the kings that one of the precious things and achievements they count so well in those days is that they count their queen also as the chiefest amongst them. So when a king is showing you the things that they have, they when they flaunt all the material things, the gold, the silver, the maids, the soldiers, and they have shown you the chambers and the properties and the lands and the farmlands and their subjects and everything available, when they have got it to the apex, the crescendo of the activities, they call their queens. That means the apex of the glory of the king is the queen. That's why if you're a young man here, take time to marry a queen. And when you marry a queen, treat her as a queen. Now many of you understand why my wife is queen. Yes. And look at it now. I can imagine the king saying, I have shown you everything, but amongst all of these things you have seen, prepare now for the peak, the baba of them all. You have shouted at the gold. You have made exclamation at the silver. You have talked so much at the riches. But let me show you what is really rich to me. Next verse, verse 9. Give me verse 9 quickly, sir. Queen Vashti also made a feast for the woman in the royal palace, which belongs to who? King Ahasuerus. Not belongs to her. She made a feast in the palace that king has made for her. It's not bad for the king to make it a palace for the queen and then have her own time there. But look at what happened. Just like in the case of Agar, you are reigning in a palace, I'm reigning also in a palace. You are showing people what you have, I'm also showing people what I have. Look at what happened. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine. There is something about wine I wish I had time to tell you. That there is a wine you can serve God, that when his heart is merry, he tells you, ask for anything. That's for another day. When the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, that must be a man, Bitsar. Why are you laughing? That is the kind of name you will call and then you think. Bitsa, Abona, Biga, Abaga, Zeta, Kakas, seven eunuchs. Imagine he calls the chiefest amongst his chiefs. And what did he do to them? Who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus? Next verse, sir. To bring the queen Vashti before the king, wearing a royal crown. So she has a crown. In order to show her beauty to the people and the official, for she was beautiful to behold. Give me the next verse. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command. Come and show your beauty. Let the people know that compared to the gold and the silver that they have seen, you beat them all by far. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command brought by the eunuch before the king. So therefore the king was furious and his anger burned within him. Queen Vashti has forgotten that queen was put behind her name because she got married to King Ahasuerus. Queen Vashti has forgotten that she had a palace to reign because she was married to a king that built a palace. Hey, can I talk to you, sir? Never get to a place in your life where you are given access to the place of greatness to forget that you were not born with greatness. Never get so much access to God. Never get so much access to great men, and they give you a platform to exercise greatness, and then it enter your head to forget where you were coming from. Queen Vashti forgot that she was only called Queen Vashti because there was a King Ahasuerus, and that both Queen Vashti and everything that Queen Vashti has belongs to King Ahasuerus. Hey, never forget, sir, that both you and all that you have belongs to God. Where were you when he picked you up? Where were you when he picked you and polished you? Where would you have been had he not picked you up from the gutters where you were? Where are your mates today? Still wallowing in sin and in rejection, not knowing what becomes of them at the end of their life. But they picked you and bring you to salvation. Never become so big that your voice will be too precious to you to use for the worship of this great king. Never become so beautiful that you can no longer roll before him and say, I am still your boy. Never get to the height in life where people now cheer you and say, oh, great man of God, apostle. And it enter your head to forget that there is nobody called apostle if there is no apostle of all apostles. Give me the scripture again. Now let's jump to verse 19. And then we read verse 19 and 20. Now when this happened, I can imagine all the governor looking at themselves. So what is going to happen now? And there's some held a summoned courage and said, King, sir, something must be done about this. If you leave this unpunished, it will become an example to the rest of the women in the provinces, and every woman will begin to disobey and dishonor her own husband. Sir, something must be done. Now, if it please the king, Bible speaking now, in verse 19 of chapter 1 of Esther, if it please the king, let a royal decree go out from him, and let it be recorded in the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it will not be altered, that Vashti shall no more be before King Ahasuerus. Let the king give a royal position to another who is better than she. Listen. The Bible already told us about Queen Vashti, that she was beautiful to behold. The Bible did not present it as though she was one of the beautiful. The Bible gave us an expression that she was the most beautiful. But the moment she communicated dishonor, watch what happened. Immediately she came down and they said, there is another that is better than she is. Can I tell you, sir? Every time you communicate dishonor, you reduce the value. You think you are dishonoring and bringing down that man. What you're actually doing is that you are reducing your own value. Let our position be given to another. I have heard stories upon stories, and I can share with you by the reason of what I do, of men and women who were not qualified for contracts, academically speaking, who did not have all of the exposures, but they understand this law of honor. And they will tell them to their face, you were not qualified. We checked other people's credentials. They have more certificate and exposure and experience and knowledge than you have. But there is something you have that they don't have. We have seen honor in you. And so we are going to give you the job. Listen carefully, sir. When everybody is intelligent, let your own edge be honor. When everybody is anointed, let your own edge be honor. Honor cannot be ignored. I have seen anointed men of God. Nobody invite them to come and minister anywhere, because the last time they did, they stood up on another person's platform and make a mess of everything the man had labored for years. What has your man of God been teaching you? Nonsense. You mean you don't know these things? Ah, pastor, maybe I will be coming here every Sunday to come and teach your people. And the man said, no problem, sir. Thank you, sir. And in his mind, he's saying that's the last time you would ever come. And it's not, I'm serious tonight, be serious. And it's not only promising himself that you will never come to his platform. He will go around and tell every other person that he knows, don't try to bring this man. Don't try to bring this man. It will destroy your image. Many people will have gotten a job. At the point of getting a job, when you got to the interview, you met an old friend or an old member that you live in the same vicinity together. And Shade, what are you doing here? Not here, I've come for the job. And when you are done with the interview, and Shade enter into the office and met the panel, I know that lady is so intelligent and smart. You may have been considered to give her a job. If you try it, she will mess everybody up here. And they say, no, she passed. She came out as the best amongst all the candidates we have today. But with this one that you have said, who is the next best? And she lost that job. People go everywhere trying to get a job and not get a job. They blame it on witches. They blame it on wizard. They never look inward to see their attitude of dishonor to men. When you dishonor men, you shut doors against yourself. Not one door, doors. When you communicate honor to one man, he will go around and tell other men. When you communicate dishonor to one man, in fact, communicate honor, he might not tell anybody, he might just tell one or two persons and then reward you if there is a need. But communicate dishonor, he will go to social media and tell the world that you are worse than somebody that has a virus. They should not come near you. Vastly lost her place, not to death. She lost her place, not to war. She lost her place, not to infidelity. Sisters, in case you think the only way you can lose your marriage is as long as I didn't go out with another man. No, sir, there is something worse than going out with another man. It's called dishonor. No man can tolerate dishonor. No woman can tolerate dishonor. Sir, even when you dishonor the madman on the street, he gives you a piece of his madness. No man, no woman, believe me what I'm telling you, even if you say it's just a gate man, dishonor a gate man at the detriment of your own life. Listen to me. Let me share my story with you and then we go, if you can do introduction tonight. I'll just give you definitions of what honor is. I had prayed, I have fasted, I have stayed at home for 7 years not getting admission. And now breakthrough is coming. The Lord has answered my prayer. I've seen vision, I've received prophecies. And the Lord has said, okay, I've opened the doors. And it's looking as such that the Lord has opened the door. And so I wrote JAMB. I think it was JAMB that year. And I was preparing to go for school. And the school I chose, I know nobody there. And while I was talking to the Lord said to me, now take a trip, travel down to Adoekiti. When you get there, I will give you a key. I didn't know what honor is, like I know now, a little I know now. I just know that I called it then respect. So God told me, I see, while I'm talking to every one of you, I see a cloud of glory just levitating over us now. A cloud, that's what the Lord just opened my eyes to see. Like a cloud of his presence, just mighty in this place now. Pay attention, what I'm speaking to you is an impartation that will come upon you. Somebody's living here with a garment of honor, both to receive honor and to give honor. I taught you that amen is respect when somebody prays. When you say amen, when you say amen when somebody prays for you, you are not saying amen for that man. What you are doing is you are saying, I agree, let it be so. That's what it means. Your amen does not change me, doesn't make me more anointed. It makes you receive what has been released. So may honor become garment upon you in the name of Jesus. And so I took my trip. I've always operated by faith. He has directed me like that to go to Mina. I've never known, I didn't know anybody there. I got there. He opened doors for me. So when he told me to go to Ekiti, I took my trip. And I remember when I got there that day, I met the first person I met were these people, security men that stayed at the entrance of the admin. You know those people, they almost look like a nobody. Many of you will pass them. Do you understand? But the Lord said to me, begin from this place. Respect him. So I went to him and said, Daddy, you know, sir. I greeted the man very well. Say, ah, Paoni, daddy, you know, sir. The man thought I knew him because it is not in the culture of students to demonstrate that respect for his cadre. So it was strange to him. So when I was there, I said, Paoni, sir, Daddy, I'm from Ibadan. I thought you know me. I said, I'm from Ibadan. I'm trying to get admission to this school and I don't know. My mind does say I should come to you. The man said, me, I don't have any power. I said, no. God has put you here, knows you have power. The man looked up and said, go to this office. When you get there, ask of this person. Tell her you are from me. And that is the registrar office, deputy registrar's office. Watch this. When I got to the registrar's office, I knocked the door. I didn't know if the person he mentioned was a registrar. I just said, Elijah. So when I got there, I met somebody by the door. I prostrated again. Red on mark. Yes, man. Yes, man. From Baba Desa, they said I should come and meet Elijah, man. And you know, while I was, you know, that the woman was watching. And before I got there, I saw many of the students who were hanging around. You know, students, how we hang around now. They were hanging around. Obviously, the woman has chased many of them away and said, go to your house. Admission has closed or something like that. So when I came close to this woman, the way I greeted her and made her feel, I also must have seen her, or somebody must have sent me to her. I said, ma, are you Elijah? She said, yes. I said, ma, I'm from Ibadan. And God asked me to come and meet you as a mother to help me. Here is my credentials. I need admission. She looked up. She looked down. She said, I will help you. She collected my credentials. She said, go. You don't have to wait in Ibadan. Do you have where to stay? I said, no. She said, go back to Ibadan. Sir, that woman single-handedly processed my admission, called me. Olanewaju, resume to school. Your admission is out. Honor. Honor. My mother did not know her. She doesn't know my mother. My father has never been to that school. Yet honor opened the door. In fact, honor opened the door so well that I now began to, through the woman, process admission for other people. You may have prayed, you may have fasted, but if you lost the key of honor, the door will still be shut against you. The response to your prayer is not coming from heaven to you, it's coming from heaven through men to you. Who have you dishonored? That is the reason why the door is shut against you. This is introduction. And wherever we can stop tonight, we'll stop and we'll pray. Don't forget how the story started. It didn't start by meeting the registrar. Do you know I never met the registrar? It started by meeting a common security guard dressed in rags and in slippers. And the Lord said, meet that man and respect him. I went flat on the floor, greeted him, and the man thought I knew him. I must have been a relative from somewhere. And when I told him admission, he said, me at my labor. I said, no, you are someone here. And the man said, okay, go there. Many of the people you look down on are holding the key to your great place in life. Do you know one very great thing about kingmaker? They never become kings. Kingmakers never become king. But if you ignore them, you will never sit on the throne. Who is he? If you have the money, why are you here? If you have the connection, why are you here? Don't talk like that. There are many people who have spoken. Drivers, ordinary drivers, will speak to people on your behalf. And you will enter the realm of billions. And you will be wondering, how come he has been a driver? How been this level of connection? Kingmakers may never be king, but they have the grace to make men king. Let me define for us tonight as we close. What is honor? What is honor? Are you ready now? Honor is the recognition and acknowledgement of the unique ability that is at work in a man or in a place. I take it again for your sake. Honor is the recognition and the acknowledgement of the unique ability that is at work in a man or in a place. You want me to take it a third time? Honor is the recognition and the acknowledgement of the unique ability that is at work in a man or in a place. That's honor, number one. Number two, what is honor? Are we ready now? Honor is the rewarding of a man or a place for the value and impact that they have. Honor is the rewarding of a man or a place for the value and the impact that they have. I take it the third time so that you can make your note clearly and intelligently, so that when you are reading, you understand. Honor is the rewarding of a man or a place for the value and impact that they have. Can I tell you, brethren, tonight, that many of the people you look up to and say these are the only ones that can help may never be the one God will use. I have had stories. In fact, look at the story of Naaman, the leper, a general, veteran in battle, has done many mighty things, has never lost a battle, but he was losing the battle over his own flesh. I know that Naaman would have discussed with many generals that he has as colleagues and friends. I'm sure he would have discussed with the king. They would have shipped many astrologers, magicians, top medical personnel from all over the world to help look at this leprous case of Naaman. But results and solution did not come from any of them, except from a maid servant. Who would have thought that the salvation of a general will be in the hand of the maid servant? Master, if you would only go to the land of Israel, there is a man of God there. If my master will only go there, this leprosy will be cured. I imagine Naaman would have said, keep quiet. By the way, who give you access to this place? How can I be here talking and you are, get out of this place. It's not your fault. So you have the audacity to tell me that I'm leprous. You. But the Bible says, because of the words of the maid, Naaman, a warrior, Naaman, a rich and influential personnel, took a journey to a far country. And little did he know that was the last time they would ever be called leper. Because when you honor, you get the results. Honor never go unrewarded. No. Let Mordecai talk to you. Mordecai honored the king, saved the king from the coup of death. Mordecai was not rewarded immediately. Yet, it is the law that when you sow the seed of honor, it must give you the harvest of lifting. It's a law in the spirit. It may take years, it may take months, it may take days, but the law cannot be broken. One day, the Lord began to call on King Ahasuerus, and he could not sleep all night. Bring me the book of the record of the palace. This man saved my life and honored me at a time. What was done for him? And they said nothing. He said, no, it can't be so. And he was rewarded accordingly. Let me try to divine dishonor for us. Let me try to divine dishonor for us. Dishonor, therefore, is the trivializing, the ignoring of the value that a person, a place, or a thing represents. Dishonor, therefore, is the trivializing and the ignoring of the value that a person, a place, or a thing represents. When you ignore school, you ignore academics. You may have the same skill they get in school, but you will not have the certifications. The certification legitimizes your knowledge. Is that true? There are many of us here right now that knows how to drive. Are we together? But you don't have a driver's license. Why do you run when you see road safety officials? Is it that you don't know how to drive? You know how to drive. But when you see road safety officials, what happened to you? You begin to look for one corner to run because you have ignored, you dishonor that body that should certify the fact that you know what you are doing. When you have sickness and a little ailment in your body and doctor call you, even though you are spitting fire when you speak in tongues, and doctor said, here is medicine, take 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, and 2 in the evening, and you collect the drug and say, me, a man of faith, 2 in the morning, 2 was all those kindergarten things, and you throw the drug away, you will die of that sickness, because even faith regards honor. Something very humorous happened to me during the course of the week. I misused and abused my body, exposed to cold. And so I'm trying to put my body together so that I can be fit for all of my activities and very busy schedule I have. So I had to see a pharmacist, so he gave me some drugs. And so while I was speaking, and while I was abusing the body, the Lord was telling me, this cold water you are drinking is too much. This tea you are doing and all that. I'm saying nothing here. Did you get? So while I was speaking the drugs, God is humorous. When you have love and fellowship romance with Him, you will enjoy it. While I was speaking the drugs at the dining table, my wife was away. Nobody was around me. They just had me laughing. And then they came around and I said, no problem, go. So the following day, I told them the story. While I was speaking the drug, you know, they told me one in the morning, one in the afternoon, take one of these, take this. The Lord said, there you are. They are telling you to take one, this, take one. Can you imagine yourself? So you take, you now, you are taking one of this, one of that. And you know, it was like him teasing me, like, you're like yellow divine. If you are listening, you will not have become this experiment. So when he said that, I laughed out, you know, and I still obeyed. If, do you know one thing? If I dishonor the prescription of the pharmacy, I would have, by faith, come here, right? I would have shut down this meeting by now. So faith is not a substitute for honor. Listen to me. One issue I have with spiritual people is that they believe that it is not spiritual to make plans. You know how we talk to you. Why will I make plans? God has every plan for me. No. No. I know you have faith, but it is also faithful to make plans. When you dishonor the law of planning, listen, you will live your life recklessly and carelessly. When you dishonor the law of seed, you purchase a land, an acre of land, and then you get there and say, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Everywhere the soul of my feet shall trend upon, it shall give the place to me. Maize begin to grow. From this place, maize grow. Cassava, in the name of Jesus, the earth is of the Lord and the fullness thereof. After all, God spoke to the earth and they brought forth. And I'm speaking. As God speaks, I speak. And so, and you remember Pastor Shiel, everything God said, God saw. Mace, come out. Mace, come out. And you speak and you go home and you say, now, harvest time, give me basket. And you come there. Will you meet Mace? Do you know what? You will meet harvest, but it will be an harvest of wheat. Every time you see what you don't desire, don't say the devil has done this. You got the seed that you sow. Am I insulting you? So the law of honor is very important. Let me tell you this as I wrap up and then we pray. If you want to get to the platform of greatness, come, brother, with me. If you want to get to the platform of greatness, I'll share one more story with you when I'm done with this example. If you want to access the platform of greatness, make honor your surest companion. With honor, nobody can deny you access. With honor, nobody can deny you access. Carry fire, they can send you back. There are places that have no respect for fire. When Joseph stood before the king Pharaoh, even though he has the ability to interpret dreams, he communicated the interpretation of the dream and the solution to the king, even with great honor. Oh, great Pharaoh, let Pharaoh find a man. Let Pharaoh do this. He said, ah, Pharaoh, is that why you could not sleep? That's too simple now. Even me, as I'm standing, I know the result. Are you saying all these wise people don't know it? So why are they called wise people? They should be sad. Mm-mm. That was the mistake of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a prophet called and ordained by God. But John the Baptist began to enter into what is called dishonor. As the king, Herod, done a writing. No. But that is not the way to correct the king. It is not in your purview and jurisdiction to correct the king. Herod, the Lord will punish you. You have taken Herodiah, the wife of your this. And instead of Herod being punished, it was the head of the prophets that lost for it. The devil did not cut his head. A little child carried his head because he entered into dishonor. How can a man called and ordained by God with the anointing of God on him? Jesus said, in the midst of everyone born of women, there is none that is as great as John the Baptist. Of all the prophets we have read up in the Old Testament, John the Baptist was the greatest. Yet, the greatest among the Old Testament's prophets lost his head to a baby girl. A little girl to ordinary 30 minutes dance. That lady used honor to collect the head of a prophet. What was her honor? She danced before the king. King, I can dance and forget about myself before you just to honor you. And when the lady danced to show honor, the head of the one that has shown dishonor was used as a gift for honor. When you show dishonor, you lose your place to men that chose honor. Wives, when you show dishonor to your husband, there are ladies that will serve your husband on their meals with the food they cook with their money and say, my dear, just eat and be satisfied. This is the undoings of many of our mothers. They will never tell you. All they will tell you is, your daddy was a wicked man. Your daddy was a wicked man. He didn't stay at home. He always looked around for the. Tell me what you did to my daddy. Your mother, mind your mother. Tell me what you did to her. There is no woman or man that will not stay where she's honored. Even when there is hunger, they will not leave themselves. You want to be great in life, never forget, as you take every step, let honor go with you. You may not have money, you may not have connections. Honor will give you the money. Honor will give you connections. Are you aware that there are currencies that men use to purchase things in this world and even in heaven? The lowest, like my teacher, my revered teacher, Apostle Selma, would like to say many times, the lowest among this currency is money. You are poor if all you have is money. There are things you will purchase and your money cannot afford. Are you aware that many have purchased entity not with money but with honor? My life is a living testimony. I wish I'm given the freedom and the liberties to share with you the many great things that I have purchased, not with money, not even with the anointing, not even with miracles, but with honor. I wish I can give my phone to you and show you alerts upon alerts, not from men that I pray for, not from people that know me as man of God, but from people who have learned to serve honor. Honor is a meal. When you serve people, they will pay for it. Many people struggle for money to buy a car. Yet, one little tiny girl understands honor. And by honor, the car you have been saving for will be given for free to someone who understands honor. Many people lobby and pay millions to get positions. Yet, the position will be given to a man that understands the language of honor. Every great man wants somebody who will only permit people that understand honor to stay around him. No great man will tolerate any man of dishonor. Ask me again and again. I have shut doors against men that I discern any iota of dishonor. That's not pride. Even God could not tolerate it. The moment I give you a level of access and I sense dishonor coming from there, I shut the door immediately. I shut the door. I don't care who you are. You may be my own blood brother. If I give you access and I see that you trivialize and dishonor it, I shut the door immediately. This is the reason why you have called your uncles many times. He doesn't pick your call anymore. Because when you had access to him, Uncle, I called you in the morning. Now you didn't pick my call and you didn't call back. Uncle, and that man was in the midst of a meeting that is about to determine a deal that is running into millions. Uncle, why is there somebody will be calling you and you cannot pick? And then you call him and he's not picking and you drop a nasty text message. Now, wow, thank God, God no be man. If God na man, he no go give rain. Nonsense. Because yours, you have money now. Uncle, remember, you stayed in our house, so nonsense. God punish you. Ends. And then he read the message. And then now when you call him, he tells you, please don't call me again. And you said the devil has done it. He said, the devil has not done this. Dishonor has done this. Don't worry, I will see what I will do about your job. Hello, sir. Just to call you, sir. Don't forget me about the job. Don't worry, I didn't forget. After 30 minutes. Sir, I just want to remind you, if there is also space in that place, I don't mind. Okay, I'll look into it. After 1 hour. Hello, sir. You are not saying anything. Should I be coming or I should wait? I'm busy. Please, I'll call you back. After 10 minutes. Hello, sir. Until the guy said, wait. If you call my line again, this is what you do. You push your desperation upon men as though they should be desperate for you. I'm looking for a job, so everybody should become restless. No. I'm not eating. Many of us are sad. We are as foolish as going to the social media. Hunger, they wire me. Oh, enter on your Facebook. And the foolish friends you have to will now be saying, eat garri, eat bread, eat this. I promise to bring you messages and teachings from the Lord that will make your life better. That a man gives you access should not reduce his honor. Can I tell you the truth? And I'm speaking as one of the great, privileged great men. And here, whatever you hear from me is the mindset of the great men. Everyone you see around, every great man is vulnerable to those who show them honor. In fact, in my own very young life, I find it difficult to fight or to be angry at those who shows me honor. I prefer to correct them. If I've done something wrong, I will let them go. I will not call them on phone to correct them. Because as long as they stand before me, it's difficult for me to vent my anger because of the level of honor they have communicated. That is how every great man is. When you show honor to any great man, if they will inconvenience themselves to make sure they don't displease you, You don't get a man to favor you by putting him under pressure. No. Honor is the greatest pressure you can put upon a man. That you forget talking about the things he promised you. Are you okay, sir? Just to check on you. Are you fine? No, ma, I promise I will go to you. No, uncle, you are not a liar now. You have done so much things for me. If you stop doing anything for me, I'm satisfied. I remember you paid my school fees last year. No, I'm not calling you for that. How is my sister? How you are sounding somehow? How are you sounding? What's going on? And you find man telling you, my dear, it has been a busy day. Telling you that nobody has asked. Are you aware that great men are lonely? Great men are lonely. Many times, blessed be God for my family and my wife and children. Many times, the only thing that brings me comfort and consolation that understand my past is my wife and my children. You see your apostle now playing with children. Let's play. Let's shake bum bum. Let's do it. That's where I get my comfort. I can't do that with you. And yet, I need to do that. Do you know I thought of something one day? It's been a very long time that somebody gave me a hug. Apart from my wife, that a man give me a hug. I discovered that I've been the one giving people a hug. As simple as hug. I'm the one that say, hey, how are you doing? It's rare for someone to say, Apostle, I want to hug you. It's rare. Do you know that? Now just saying that, see how you are doing. Do you understand? Imagine somebody just walk up to you and say, sir, please just permit me to do this to you. Tell me about the ministry. How are you doing it? The body. Sometimes I just imagine how you think. Is there something I can do? Imagine what that will do. Apostle, I want to see you. Yesterday I had a dream. And it's not bad. It's my assignment. It's my responsibility. So an average great man is exposed to people demanding from him. Only few people bring to him. So when you bring to him, he becomes unusual. I will never forget. One day the Lord gave me a strange instruction to my business manager. The way God has trained me, sometimes I'll stand and be, God, I didn't understand this thing you asked me to do. He said, you notice that everywhere this woman talks, she has never been shut down. And your assignment requires that you have a voice that cannot be shut down. I said, yes, sir. He said, go to her. Package XYZ amount. Give her two options. Ma, can I come to your house and wash all your clothes and dishes? I'll teach you in detail. Honor. We will pray. I'm sharing the last story with you. Or tell her, can I tell me your dry cleaner so I can engage her to help me wash the clothes that I would have washed. And tell her to pray for you. Tell her what you have noticed. And I would never forget that afternoon. After work, I went to the office. And I was the pastor in charge of the branch. I've always been the pastor in charge of the branch since I came in. They noticed the grace of God. And I was the pastor. And when she saw me, she said, Pastor, what's up? What's going on? I said, Ma, fine, ma. She said, what happened? I said, nothing, ma. I went to the door. Shut the door. What are you doing? Nothing. Closed everywhere. She sat down and said, what's going on? And I went on my knees. She said, no, stop that. Is another? I said, no, ma. I would have come to your house to wash your clothes, but I know you will not let me. She was looking like this. I said, I would have followed you home to do some house chores in your house because you have something that I need. She said, what? I said, I have observed, sir, that ma, that every time you speak, nobody shuts you down. Over this region, this whole directorate, people will come at the head of this, they will say, you are the one to speak to us. In the midst of those who are even older than you in the system, and your voice has become a voice of authority. Ma, my journey is far. This is one of the graces I need. That when I speak, the nation hears. Guess what? She was looking like this. When I was done with my speeches and gave her the envelope, I said, ma, please give this to your laundryman. Let him use this to dry clean your clothes on my behalf. When I was done with all of the speeches and the communication, she didn't say, I don't have what you are looking for. She said, "Ah, this is an office." Then she stood up, took off her shoes, and then said, "In the name." It was an office. She began to speak in tongues. People scattered around. We have locked the office. Nobody can share of the glory and the grace with me and the honor. I have locked them outside. She began to speak in tongues. You will know these are tongues from the bowels. And she said, "I release on you. Anywhere you speak, the world will listen." She brought out anointed oil from her bag, which was as a result of you have provoked something. How much did I package, ma? 2,000 naira. She anointed me with oil and said, "Go and bring testimony for me." Sir, 2 weeks after, we had a general meeting. And a senior person, one of the number three person in my bank, came to Ibadan. And we were having what is called NPR. And they called people in the meeting. "You talk to us. What will you do if you were in your case?" This one, they put the scenario. This one stand up and say, "I will do this." And I say, "Rubbish. Get out of my meeting. Get out. You will do nonsense. That's why your branch is not doing well. Get out." It was insulting people. And when he said, "Young man, you look smart, stand up and talk to us." I said, "Yes, sir. Actually, this and this is what I will do." The same thing the man that I sent out. In fact, verbatim. I said, "Sir, this is what I will do." Look at me, say, "Ah, this guy is intelligent too. This guy is smart. Who is your PM here? Who is your PM? Who is your PM here? Please, take care. We need smart people like this in my bank. What is the difference?" That guy spoke on the platform of no grace. I spoke on the platform of grace. And the man said, "This one." In fact, when I was done, somebody else tried to echo me, sent him out. To let you know that it's something that works. When you recognize somebody that carry what you don't have, don't trivialize it. Honor it. Rise up on your feet. Let's go. Tonight you will cry. What grace have I trivialized that has shut doors against me? Lord, let your mercy. I'm leading you in prayer already. And this is not a form. I'm not going to say, Father, no. I've taught you honor. If my word does not carry power and you have not engaged, it is left for you. Lord, what grace? What grace have I trivialized that has shut doors of destiny against me? What relationship did I have at the time and I dishonor and has closed doors against me? Lord, your mercy. Let your mercy open the doors again. Opportunities that I lost due to dishonor, let your mercy reopen it. I vow to honor it again. The virtues, the anointing that I lost, the grace that I lost due to dishonor, Lord, in the multitude of your mercy, open them and restore them tonight. In the multitude of your mercy, let your mercy find me and restore me tonight. Restore that relationship by your mercy. Restore that relationship by your mercy. Restore that opportunity by your mercy, Lord. Pray. Remember Miriam lost her flesh to leprosy, but Moses prayed and Miriam was restored. Pray. Every opportunity, every benefit, every relationship, every inheritance that I have lost due to dishonor, dishonor to God, dishonor to parents, dishonor to supervisors, dishonor to principles and laws, let your mercy restore. Let your mercy restore. Let your mercy restore me tonight. Pabalakata braska melanda. Shabalanda breast covela mariata. Make sure you are praying. Make sure you are praying. Access that I once had that was closed because of dishonor, let your mercy open it again. Hallelujah. I decree over you, every door that dishonor shut against you, by the mercy of God, I open it now in the name of Jesus. Every opportunity that dishonor took away from you, by the mercy of God, I restore it now. Every relationship that dishonor messed away, messed up from you, by the mercy of God, I restore them in the name of Jesus. While we are standing, as you will be learning later on, the first honor is unto God. And the first way to show honor to God is to believe in the Son that He has sent, His only begotten, the first begotten of the Father. If you are not born again, you are showing the greatest dishonor to God. And that dishonor will cost you your life, and even the life after the earth. Wherever you are, or you got born again at a point in time and then you lost relationship, and you don't care. You don't care about that relationship with God. But I'm calling you back. Restore. Restore honor of fellowship. Wherever you are, lift up your hand. I want to lead you back to Him. I want to lead you back to that relationship. Online, on ground, do the same. Wherever you are, lifting up your hands, pray this prayer after me. It's not a poem. Mean it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight my heart honor you, and I declare that I believe that you are the Son of God. You died for my sin. God raised you on the third day. Therefore, I receive you with honor as my Lord and my Savior. Lead me. Take charge of my life. I live for you alone. Only you matters in my life. In the name of Jesus, I'm born again. I belong to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you have prayed that prayer, congratulations. I pray that the grace of God that found you will keep you to the end in the name of Jesus. The grace will keep you to the end in the name of Jesus. Online, on ground, you pray that prayer, please visit the website and get the message, the mystery of salvation and spiritual checkups. They will guide you on how to grow in the knowledge of the faith that you have not received. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We believe that you've been greatly imparted. To get more updates about the movement and to download our messages, visit www.riseshinechristiannetwork.com.
Also, you can join us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Telegram, and MixLR at ArriseSCN.
Or you can also reach us on WhatsApp or call us on 070-5314-5157. Keep shining.